T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Hello. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Yes! Let's get down to business before we get down to more business. It's time for your chance to win $1,000. Right? This is how I make you feel good before we talk about the Dolphins. Now, young Biff told me he would guarantee me I would know who this song is by that he's playing for our code word. I have no clue what this is, Biff.
Come on, Dono. Atlanta-based rappers. Come on, there's three of them.
What, T.I.? T-Pain?
T.I. and T-Pain are one person.
They are?
They're both like only just one person. And they're like,
oh, so you're group. Saying a group.
Yeah, this is a group.
Who is it?
It almost sounds like Amigos.
Migos.
Yes.
Oh, I've heard of them. I've heard of them.
I told you you've heard of them.
All right, well, it's time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM $1,000 touchdown contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word WALK to 72881, and you are registered. Text WALK. W-A-L-K. It's pretty easy to spell, I would say. Text W-A-L-K to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. with Joe and Zach. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. It is. The 6 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here in a Dolphins crying towel Monday. You know, people have already started texting in. I hope you're not going to be as gloom and doom as Big O was today.
Do you have any sort of positive thoughts about this season?
Let me start with one. Now, it's hard to say anything positive based on yesterday's performance. But big picture, I can tell you, one loss, right? Whether you lose by 31 points or 3 points, one loss to me, especially on the road at New England, does not take away or overshadow the 3 wins you collected prior to that, right? You still have so much in front of you, including you're still leading the AFC East right now. Now, I'm not expecting the Dolphins to win the AFC East. Last night made that point pretty emphatically that they are not the best team in the AFC East. But a 3-1 record is still a very positive start in the NFL. And I'm not going to take one result and say, well, okay, the ass kicking at New England, that completely erases the victories over the Titans, the Jets, and the Raiders. It doesn't. So that's where I start, that one loss, no matter how ugly, and by the way, it was in New England. That's been a house of horrors for most teams, including the Dolphins. Have not won a game there since the Wildcat game in 08. You've never won a game there when Tommy Brady was fully healthy, starting and finishing the game. You know, because you had a win there back in 05, I think, where the division had already been decided. He didn't play. So that has been a house of horrors for Miami. I can't, from one loss, say everything good you had at the start of the year is completely ruined, completely destroyed. I can't do that show. You still have too many games left, too much to play for. No matter how bad the O-line was yesterday, no matter how poor Ryan Tannehill was yesterday, I can't put much on that defense from yesterday. I can't. Not with how bad the offense was. The defense got hung out to dry. The time of possession was embarrassing. You can't blame the defense for that loss. You can't. If you've ever heard of complimentary football, you need to understand that even good defenses, you know, unless you have like a 2000 Baltimore Ravens-style defense, even a good defense needs the offense to do enough in the field position game and the time of possession game to put you in a position to succeed. So I can't put that on the defense. You can put it on the play calling. You can put it on the execution. You can put it on the O-line. You can put it on a lot of things. Now, here's my biggest negative takeaway from yesterday. The health of this team, right? I think the big picture of the health of this football team now really overshadows one loss, one result, one blemish on your record. Biff, I can remember how excited I was preseason, first game of the season, to have, wow, the additions of Josh Sitton and Daniel Kilgore to that offensive line. You've made that O-line better, right? Subtracting Mike Pouncey, who we love down here, but clearly has not been the same with all the hip injuries. Subtracting Mike Pouncey and adding Kilgore and Sitton is going to make that offensive line better. Now where are we? 4 weeks into the season. You'd already lost Sitton for the year. And now Daniel Kilgore, reportedly torn triceps. He's likely to miss the rest of the season. That's a big blow, man. That is a big blow to that offensive line.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of sad when you're hoping Ted Larson stays healthy all year. You really need him.
God, we need Ted Larson in bubble wrap all week. Can we please, like, have Ted Larson? He can roll around town in one of those bulletproof Pope mobiles. Just protect Ted Larson.
No, he needs to be in the bubble. He needs to become the bubble boy.
Keep him in the pressurized Dolphins bubble 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We also need Swanson to stay healthy. Samsonite, Swanson. I knew it started with an S. We need him to stay healthy all year.
We just don't need George Costanza near them.
No. It was Moores. Moops! It was the Moops! And how about this? This reminded me a lot of something that happened with the Hurricanes earlier this year. I think, what was it, in the Toledo game that Jaquan Johnson went down injured, and Andre Ware on the ESPN broadcast accused him of faking an injury just to slow down Toledo's tempo. And we're, what, three games later, Jaquan Johnson has not played since with injury. Yesterday, Bobby McCain, who had already had a brilliant interception on Tommy Brady, goes down hurt with a knee. And then you saw the camera work, the lip readers on Bill Belichick. Bleeping BS, Belichick said. Thought McCain just went down because the Dolphins needed time for a substitution. Oh, it turns out Bobby McCain is actually hurt and is going to miss some time. So,
I mean, to be fair, Bill Belichick doesn't even high-five kids on the sideline when running out. He has no sympathy for anybody. If you're not out for the year and you're not Tom Brady out for the year, he doesn't really care.
You think McCain was just really committing to sell that injury? Like, he's not going to play for the next 3 weeks.
He doesn't want to. You know what? He said, I want a three-week vacation. I mean, hey, just saying, James Harrison said like a couple days ago to tell Le'Veon, sign with the team and fake injuries. So you never know. Maybe Bobby McCain's following the same thing.
So yesterday, no question, was disappointing. Newsflash, the Dolphins are not on the Patriots level. Newsflash, the Dolphins do not execute like a team that can really compete to be a top seed in the playoffs. I still think they could be in the wild card hunt. I do. I'm not canceling Christmas after what I saw yesterday. I still think the Dolphins can have a good season. But the long term of the offensive line worries the hell out of me. And yesterday in New England showed you Ryan Tannehill and company are nowhere near the New England Patriots level right now when the Patriots' backs were against the wall, 1-2 start, looking to avoid three straight losses, which hasn't happened to them since 2002. They responded like a dangerous, wounded animal, while the Dolphins did not look ready to play yesterday. Disappointing result yesterday. Disappointing game. Very tough to watch. Very difficult to sit through. We've seen some disappointing games over the years. In fact, man, that's going to be the theme for my Dono's top three list tonight, which we'll probably do. I don't know. We could probably do this at 6:45. Ira Winderman's going to join us in the upcoming segment. 6:45, we can do my top three list. I will include the Canes and Dolphins for consideration on this. Top three most disappointing South Florida football performances.
Could we just count like a dynasty of years? So like after 2004 for the Canes, could that be counted in there?
So you're just saying everything that happened after 04? I know, I'm looking for specific games.
Okay.
You know, like the turd on Monday night or the miracle on Monday night, as people call it, for the Miami Dolphins. That Jets game, the Monday night game in the year 2000, that would get some consideration. 1986 Fiesta Bowl, after wearing the fatigues. 7 turnovers in that game. Testaverde, 5 interceptions. That will be up there for consideration. Most disappointing South Florida football performances. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Speaking of disappointing, I can remember doing this show about 5 nights ago last Wednesday, thinking, man, Jimmy Butler to the Miami Heat could happen any second now, right? That was last Wednesday. Here we are on Monday, and it's all quiet on the Butler front. But the Heat have begun preseason, which means Ira Winterman is all over it. He's in Charlotte. The Heat take on the Hornets tomorrow night. So Ira will give us a full assessment on what it's going to take to get Jimmy Butler here. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And where do these Heat stand heading in to preseason game? You never heard that expression before?
No, you almost said something else, which was kind of weird.
My bad.
It's all right.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
I've never heard that one, though.
You know, because all you have to go through to make it happen, right? Like if Minnesota wants all of the Heat's young stars for Jimmy Butler, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze to make that happen? Biff looked at me like I had said something that could get us all fired when I dropped that. I was very surprised by that. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in by the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. The Alex Dono Show continues with you till 10 o'clock here on QAM. Radio.com.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
What a beautiful way to start the segment. You know, knowing that Ira Winterman is in Carolina. I can only go to Carolina in my mind today, but Ira Winterman is actually there. So we bring in our good friend from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Now, Ira, first, I want to apologize if you caught any portion of that Dolphins game yesterday. I appreciate you being willing to join me today after subjecting your eyes to the horrors.
Well, I got to tell you, I had it in a way not as bad because my retinas didn't get to burn, because being in San Antonio for the game, they were instead showing the Cowboys and the Texans game simultaneously. So I was actually just watching the running scoreboard, which it's funny because usually you wouldn't think a scoreboard by itself could be frightening, but it's like, and there's 7 more, and there's 7 more, and Tannehill just fumbled, and there's 7 more. So I guess it's like a solar eclipse. I didn't look directly at the sun, so my corneas and retinas are fine. But I sort of got the full spirit of exactly what went on, and every time that scoreboard rolled up more numbers, I said to myself, ooh, this is going to be a really good talk radio week, and I'm sure it will for you, Dono, and all your friends at the queue.
So if the Dolphins crash back down to Earth, Ira, can this be a Heat town again? Are the Heat equipped? Dwayne Wade's farewell tour, can they take this town back to being a basketball town?
You know what? You take a town back with stars. You take a town back with stories. And right now, we're all still waiting for Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
Yes or no. Because that's what'll spark this season. God bless Dwayne Wade, but I wrote about it today at sunsentinel.com. The story's going to be in tomorrow's paper. The way they relied on Dwayne Wade on his 18 minutes in the first half, he has only played yesterday. I mean, he had the highest usage of any Heat player, and God bless him. But this is not NBA championship Dwayne Wade. And this is not someone who's going to win an NBA scoring title. Donald, I got to tell you, on one hand, Dwayne looked very good. On the other hand, I found it almost somewhat worrisome that at this stage of his career in a farewell tour, the players are still deferring to him. Now, granted, a whole bunch of players are out. No Josh Richardson, Wayne Ellington, James Johnson, guys who are more comfortable in their skin. But it was odd. I mean, it was really odd to see that Dwayne Wade, outside of Hassan Whiteside, was a featured attraction in that game. So I'm still not so sure what the Heat are, although I do think the Whiteside performance was very encouraging.
Ira Winterman, by the way, is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Let me circle back to Jimmy Butler, Ira.
Sure.
The last time we spoke, last Wednesday night, you know, it just the way Twitter was buzzing, it seemed like a deal could happen any minute. And here we are 5 days later. We're no closer to it. We might even be farther away from it than we were 5 days ago. So what do you expect is happening on that front at this moment? How high is Minnesota's asking price compared to what Pat Riley is willing to give up?
Yeah, you see, I think it's all a game of liar's poker, and people saying they have other offers that they don't, and the Heat saying that they won't get off their offer, which they will. So I've been calling around to who might be in, who might not is not in right now, and what Minnesota would want. So I'm going to throw one at you, Dono, and you give me the thumbs up or thumbs down from each team, okay?
Okay, sure.
Minnesota sends out Jimmy Butler and the awful contract of Georgie Dang.
Okay.
And the Heat send out Josh Richardson and Kelly Olynyk.
I go, no. I mean, two of your young foundational players for Jimmy Butler and an awful contract.
So, I think that's what's going on right now. Minnesota is, you know what? We're not playing games for real for another 2 weeks. We have time to wait you out, Miami Heat. And you can look at your team and realize you won't have a star. So when you play the math like that and you say to yourself, okay, Miami Heat, what would you have left after that? Well, you'd thin out center. So you'd have Hassan with Bam Adebayo backing him up at the five. You could have James Johnson with Justice Winslow backing him up at the four. You could have Jimmy Butler with, for now, we'll say Derrick Jones Jr. backing him up at the three. You'd have Deion Waiters and Dwayne Wade at the two. You'd have Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson at the one. So you could make an argument that your starting lineup would be better. Mm-hmm. You would thin out your big man problem, quote-unquote, about trying to play three centers in today's NBA. And you'd have more of a foundational centerpiece and a more likely all-star than you would with your current team. I think the Bulls are looking at that and selling that on the Heat. You know, like, okay, whoa, Pat, you say you're not going to do that. But why doesn't this work for you? We'll get back to you tomorrow. We'll get back to you the day after. We'll get back to you the day after that. I'm curious if or when Pat Riley relents. And Dono, honestly, maybe he should. Maybe for foundational whale type, even if they're second-tier players, that's what you wind up doing anyway. But to reiterate, because this has gone on so long, the craziest thing to me is this. The fifth year of Jimmy Butler's new contract next summer, likely with the team he's traded to, will be worth more than all of Josh Richardson's 4 years on the extension he's beginning this season. So there are cap implications also. I think that's where we are. Who will budge first?
Well, and I think maybe the most important thing I would like you to quantify for me in your opinion, Ira, how good too great is Jimmy Butler at this point in his career? And assuming you don't sell the entire farm to bring him in, is this a guy you can really build around for the future? Or could he be a great second piece, hoping that the top piece is still to come in free agency or another trade?
I think he could be a 1A or 1B. And honestly, when this whole process started, I was like, Jimmy Butler, what did he really ever do with the Bulls? They were 500 2 years ago with Dwayne Wade at 41-41 and just beat out the Heat for the last playoff seed. Last season, he played for the Timberwolves with pretty good players in Karl Anthony Towns and some of the veterans they had. They were a number 8 seed in the West. So is he transformative? No. I don't know if any of the transformative guys are going to come available to the Heat where they stand right now. Would he make the Heat better and possibly position them for a top 4 seed in the East? Yes. Which would be a significant jump for this team right now. Is he a foundational piece for a championship team? Oh, I'm still on the border right there. He's not flashy. He's not a snazzy player. He's not necessarily the long-range shooter that you covet in today's NBA. But I think he can be a piece who can anchor a team of guys who, if they just marginally overachieve, he can be successful with. I mean, I've been thinking all day about that trade possibility, about Richardson and Kelly Olynyk for Dang, obviously, who's just a contract, and for Jimmy. And I honestly, Dono, I started the day when I first spoke to an agent who floated it to me, and I said, absolutely not. And then I said to myself, but you only have X amount of minutes in a game anyway, 240 total. So, yes, I'm taking out Richardson's minutes and Olynyk's minutes, but I'm still not so sure how much Kelly is going to play unless he can play alongside Bam or unless he can play alongside Hassan Whiteside. So I'm going to throw this back to you, Your Honor, with this question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler straight up?
I would, yeah.
Okay. So to me, I think if you get caught caught in the ancillary parts of deals, you can lose. Pat Riley goes as is saying that the main thing is the main thing. The main thing here is Jimmy Butler making your team better. So I got to tell you, as I go through these days and keep hitting, refresh on my Twitter to see what Woj is telling me is going to happen, I sort of warm up to this, and I think, Dono, that is the crux of the entire matter here. Can the Wolves wear down Pat Riley? Can Tom Thibodeau put a half-court or full-court press on the Heat to the point where they go, okay, maybe they get a little something back from Minnesota. Maybe they get the draft choice or something back if they make that concession. I think that's where it stands now.
And what you bring up really makes me think, Ira, because it's worth noting that over the past 12-plus years, Heat fans have been really spoiled. You've been competing for championships and winning championships many of those years, so you kind of feel like any big move that Riley makes should be for a transformative player because you've acquired so many of those during the Pat Riley tenure. So at a certain point, isn't the idea of bringing in a player who makes your team better, shouldn't that be enough, even if it isn't a transformative player? But I think for Heat fans, it's transformative or bust in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I just, watching the game, being out of these preseason games, which I'm not in love with, and I never overstate, but when it sort of hits you when they take the court. I know people had a chance to watch it yesterday on Fox Sports Sun back home after the Dolphins. And I just said to myself, is there anything about this Heat team, if they don't make this deal, that I would say could make this team special? Yes. If Hassan Whiteside goes back to that, nobody does it with blocks and triple doubles like he did a couple of years ago, that could. But should I count on that? So my thought is, I think when someone like this is clearly available, Thibodeau at practice today, he was asked, he said, hey, you said Jimmy Butler would be back after he got over a minor injury. Why isn't he here? So you can tell the Timberwolves are sort of getting to critical mass right now also. I think I would give up a little bit more. Pat Riley's always said, sometimes you have to give up, a dollar more, a nickel more, a penny more, something more than you would for things to be even to get something. He did that when he traded Brian Grant and Caron Butler and Lamar Odom and a first-round pick for Shaq, when some people I remember down here was like, whoa, that's pretty steep. But you know what? Yeah. Sometimes you have to give a little more to get something that'll move the needle. Oh, there's a lot of good cliches.
I love that. That answer was an ultimate soundbite there from Ira Winderman. And also, Ira, something that you touched on briefly, I wanted to ask you more about. You talked about the three-man center rotation with Adebayo, with Olynyk, and with Hassan Whiteside. How, assuming all three of these guys are on the opening night roster, how do you think that rotation plays out throughout the season?
I still don't buy it. And I wrote that in my story and in my blog and my Winderman's take today. Yes, Hassan looked good. And yes, Kelly got 10 shots up. He just was off. And they both worked fine and played together a little. This team has no issue when two of their centers are available. This team, to me, is a huge question mark trying to play all three. And my question was this after the game last night, and I mentioned this in my blog and in my story after the game also, even if Hassan plays like he did yesterday, 20 points and 13 rebounds in the equivalent of about half of a game, does that earn him more time? And the question, Dono, I had was this, can it earn him more time? If he goes out and plays that great in his first 24 minutes of a game, is he guaranteed to play another 14? Or do you simply have to find those minutes for Kelly Olynyk and for Bam Adebayo and for James Johnson? It was easy last night. No James Johnson, no Bam Adebayo. Everybody plays in the power rotation. I need to see if Eric coaches one of these six exhibitions like a real regular season game, what's it going to look like? And I'm still not convinced that if Hassan Whiteside is great, is all-star level, that there's still a nightly chance for him to get 38 minutes a game for this team.
I often say that Ira Winderman is the most well-rounded sports journalist in this market.
Here we go.
I thought you had a damn good tweet about baseball today, Ira. You're telling me Major League Baseball, these guys play 162 regular season games, yet they don't have any internal tiebreakers. They've got to play tiebreaking games before they play in wild card games.
Donna,
too much.
I was riveted to that the Brewers-Cubs game, and Yelich with his laid out when I thought he could break it open, and they survived that game. And all these teams are going to the playoffs anyway. And I understand the wild card game is the worst thing in sports. It's one and done. It's like the NCAA tournament. It's not a playoff series. So I understand why you want to win your division. I get that part of it. but just have a tiebreaker going in. Set the rules ahead of time.
Right.
I think for everything, when you play 162, look, plenty of NBA teams know if you finish with the same record as another team, you lose out on the tiebreaker.
It happened to the Heat a couple years ago.
As I mentioned with Jimmy Butler, they both finished 41-41. The Bulls won the season series 2-1 against the Heat. The Bulls played two home games in that season series. But you know going in what the rules are. So I don't understand with the Rockies and the Dodgers or the Brewers and the Cubs today why they just didn't know end of the regular season. Head-to-head tiebreaker number one, season series, record within your division since you play, as you know, with the Marlins, a ton of games in your division. And the second tiebreaker, record against other playoff teams who have clinched. If you have to go all the way down to run differential, but look at these teams. Look right now at what happened to the Cubs. I mean, the good thing is they get to stay home. But they played a game today when they had to go through a bunch of pitchers. Now they have to come back and play a one-game wild card again tomorrow. And I understand that's Major League life, but there was no reason for these games. And honestly, even for a wild card tie, which I know means a lot, playoffs or not, use the same tiebreaker system. Use it, not division games, if they're from different divisions. But if you can't solve things in 162 and have won one more game over 162, then you don't deserve to be there anyway. I love the theater I'm watching today. It's a great setup. Full day of sports leading to Monday Night Football.
Yep.
But Major League Baseball is just stupid, isn't it?
Ira, your thoughts on the John Bones Jones reinstatement?
You know, before we get to that, because I know that was coming up, I thought you're going to hit me with, you know everything about sports, so let's talk Panthers and Borgstrom not making the team. Donna, we'll get to Bones Jones. He's been in the green room now for a year and a half. But let me ask you the Borgstrom thing. How surprised were you about that?
Very surprised. Just with the fanfare behind Borgstrom. I'm shocked,
yeah.
Ira.
I mean, honestly, I know people are like, who the heck are they talking about and why are they saying
the
this?
Great Henrik
Borgstrom.
I'll
have to get Plagans on later, but I just was surprised.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was sort of the next big thing coming up also. But I guess it tells you this. If the Panthers can go without him at the start of the season, then there must be some real talent on this roster. And I think even more than the first and second lines that set up so well, it looks like there could be some real depth both on the offensive lines and also on the defense this year to help out Luongo. So maybe this roster is just a little bit better to the point where they can make a move like that also.
So I'm talking about most well-rounded sports journalist. We'll talk John Bones Jones next Monday. Tune in for that. He's Ira Winderman, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. I don't know why I have problems saying the word accident. Accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, enjoy that preseason basketball tomorrow night.
Oh, and Christian Pulisic back with the U.S. national team. We'll get to
yes.
that next time and Bones Jones. Thanks,
Donald. Oh, I forgot to ask him his pick for Inter PSV in Champions League on Wednesday. We'll have to get to that next week. Well, the game's going to happen on Wednesday. We'll get his recap next week.
PSV by 3.
You son of a... I feel like it's too early to curse. If it was 9 o'clock, I would have let loose on you.
Nah, you're too nice to let loose on somebody.
I've never let loose on you before.
Never. You're too nice.
It's you.
We've been over this with Crowder and me and you. You're just too nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, you guys are trying to find like the bodies buried in my backyard. Like you just assume I'm suspiciously too nice.
No, if you have a basement and we find a fridge down there, well, we
I don't
know
have
it's
a basement. I live in my. I live in Kendall. Nobody in Kendall has
yeah,
a basement.
Yeah, but you live in like. But Kendall's west, so you know it's not as close to the ocean.
There are
know?
No basements in Kendall.
For all we know, you have a basement.
Like what do you honestly think? Because you've said it that I'm too nice of a guy, so I've clearly got to be hiding something. What do you honestly think I'm hiding? And I don't care. You can be brutally honest. It's fine.
What animals have been missing recently from the zoo?
Oh, I do live right by the zoo.
That's yeah. how they start, Dono, just saying.
That llama collection in my backyard does not go unnoticed. All right, when we come back, I do want to make us feel a little bit better about the 38-31 embarrassment in Foxborough yesterday. Here's how I can make you feel better. Certainly not the worst football loss we've seen in South Florida, right? We've had more disappointing losses than that. Week 4 regular season. You still have a one-game lead in the division, by the way. Plenty of options to choose from, man. Plenty of options. And I include both the Hurricanes and the Dolphins in this. When we come back, my Dono's top three list. Top three most disappointing South Florida football performances. Dolphins and Canes. These stretch virtually through my entire lifetime. We'll have that top three, and I encourage you guys to chime in. at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. The Alex Dono Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It happened Third Eye Blind not putting you in a good mood here on a Monday. Oh, wait, because you remember what happened in the Dolphins game yesterday. You know, I feel like at some point tonight I've got to turn the page from 38-7 in Foxborough to the 52-0 beating Florida State is going to take at Hard Rock Stadium this weekend.
Crowder was saying on the Hawk and Crowder show you had 24 hours to do it, so technically you should have been done with that about an hour ago.
Oh, wow. So he's saying that from 24 hours after the game is over, you have to move on? No, but he's saying that from a player's perspective.
You get 24 hours to sulk. Yeah, but we're basically the players out here, man. You're a Dolphins fan. You put in as much time as a player does to the Dolphins.
Wait, so you're saying that by the time I get on air, it's been over 24 hours. I shouldn't have spent a second on it.
Exactly. You're at 26 hours right now, about to be 27 almost.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the Ira Winterman interview, I thought he was excellent as always. Can be very polarizing, talking NBA trade and preseason on a Dolphins crying towel Monday. Here's the positive reaction. Got some of this. Got quite a bit of it on the text line. More trade talk. Love it. I can't get out of my car. It's like listening to Stern. That was from Gordo in Miami. Then we also get this text. Enough basketball talk. You're putting listeners to sleep. Nobody cares about that boring-ass sport. I always love the guy who thinks that his opinions are everybody's opinions, right? You know, like during the World Cup, we spent a lot of time talking soccer. Nobody cares about that sport. You're putting everyone to sleep. Nobody likes it. Well, no, I would say that the reactions we got during the World Cup, breaking things down, especially during the summer when there's nothing else going on, at least 85% positive feedback we got during the World Cup. But there's always that one guy out there who thinks, because I don't want to hear it, nobody wants to hear it. Before I give you my top three most disappointing South Florida football performances, I want to go to the phones. Bring in Rick in Carroll City. What's up, Rick?
Dono, what's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Well, it's a Monday, and after a loss, what can we say about it?
Yeah, you know, if anything else, like people are asking me, how do I feel about that loss? Are my expectations shattered? No, we're just back to earth, right? I'm happy we have three wins in our back pocket. Like, I'm happy the Miami Dolphins are a 3-1 team. They will be no worse than 3-13 this year, no matter how much bleep hits the fan. We have three wins in our back pocket, but yesterday taught us we are nowhere near New England's level still, and we should have expected that.
Well, should we be surprised?
No, we shouldn't be.
I mean, let's
Although, Rick, you are talking to a guy who did predict a Miami Dolphins victory, and a lot of us down here did.
Well, I think that's the homer part in you and many of us too. But
maybe.
Unfortunately, you know what's in front of us is in front of us, and it hasn't gotten any better, and it's not going to get much better, Donald. I wanted to bring out two things that frustrated me the most yesterday, and when you have a good young head coach who's very talented, man, he's really good. He's held a lot of esteem by many people in the game. But why are you not getting the guy who's your single most important person on offense? Why aren't you putting him in the best positions for him to get the ball to our playmakers?
Right.
I still don't get that. I mean, to me, I was like, this guy is not a pocket passer. This guy needs to roll out, have a bootleg, have a sprint out, you know, have a little bit of play action sprint out, all those little things, you know. Everything that we've done for three games, it all disappeared. And, I mean, if you look at every deep ball he threw, it was exactly the same kind of deep ball he used to throw in year one and year two and year three.
Honestly, some of his downfield passes, which were usually high and wide, I felt like I was watching Malik Rozier.
You know, that's the first thing I want to bring out. And that's the leadership that we have and the guy who's in charge of our team, the coaching and all that. But if you look at, and I've mentioned this to you before at least once or twice in the last couple of years, you got the same guys making the decisions for personnel. Why on God's earth are we're looking at three guys that are very long in the tooth as starters? They're not going to last. You might as well keep Pouncey around for that.
Yeah,
that was a
really great point somebody brought up to me on Twitter after I was tweeting my disappointment in losing already two of your most important offensive linemen to the season. And he also added in a defensive lineman to that that you've already lost now. Kilgore, who's over 30, Sitton, who's over 30, William Hayes, who's over 30, that when you are counting on new acquisitions, I mean, it's Hayes' second year with the Dolphins, but he just signed a new contract this past summer. And the two offensive linemen are brand new to the club. When you're counting on new additions on the wrong side of 30 to help carry your team, injuries in the NFL are what is going to happen. That's what's going to sink you.
And I'll give you a really very specific example on the defensive side of the ball. Do you think Cam Wake's going to last the whole year playing defense for that? No.
He goes in a different category because Cam Wake is a freak. Listen, I know he dealt with the Achilles a few years ago, which was a fluke. If anybody at 35 years old, 36 years old can get through 16 games, that's the guy. Honestly, I'm less worried about mid-30s Cam Wake than I am about some of the 29, 30-year-olds on this team.
I get that, but he's that guy that should be a situational pass rush guy, a guy that's on third down. He should not be the guy that's on first or second down. And the guy that drafted to eventually take his place, he can't play. He got dominated twice. He was put on his flat, on his backside, by a tight end who was just signed recently. I mean, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Donald, I got to go. Take care, brother.
All right, man. I could hear the dogs barking in the background. That was funny. All right, friends. So let me first say this on my Dono's top three list. I'm going to give you my three most disappointing South Florida football performances. You're not going to hear me put the 2002 Fiesta Bowl on that list, and I'll tell you why. My team deserved to win that game. When I talk about disappointing performances, I'm talking about the players that I root for, the coaches that I root for, bleeping their pants and not showing up. That 2002 Fiesta Bowl, could Miami have played better? Sure, they were a big favorite over Ohio State. But at the end of that game, who was it that cost Miami a victory? The guy wearing the black and white stripes. That was on Terry Porter. That was on the... I almost cursed. That was on the jackass who threw that flag. I was going to go a-hole. I think that also applied there. But that was on the guy who threw that flag where pass interference did not exist. So I can't say that was a disappointing performance when we should have come away with that victory at the end of the day. All right, so here it is, my friends. New edition of Alex Dono's Top 3.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's Top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
All right, so as I always do, I'll start from number three, work my way up to number one. Most disappointing South Florida football performances. This applies to my Canes and my Dolphins. Number three, November 10th, 2007. That was the Miami Hurricanes' final game at the Orange Bowl. I was at that game. It was rough. Obliterated by Virginia, 48-0 in that game. That was a disgraceful way to say farewell to the old lady. Now, where that stadium once stood, you've got Marlins Park. Oh, beautiful park, but built with blood money.
Hey, it's by the Miami taxpayers, bud. The Miami taxpayers paid for that park.
Pretty much, yeah. Me, that's my money that went into that park. I probably put more money into that than Jeffrey Loria did.
Hey, you guys got Miami Beach Bowl for 2 years also and the World Baseball Classic out of it.
But yeah, man, I mean, closing out, and I know everyone's going to say, well, Dono, actually, FIU played the final game at the Orange Bowl. I'm not disputing that, but the Miami Hurricanes' final game at the OB, significant. It should have been a special evening. Any form of victory, whether it was by 1 point or 60 points, would have been the right way for Hurricanes football to say farewell to the old lady. Instead, 48-0, Virginia walloped Randy Shannon's Canes. How about Kyle Wright that day, a quarterback? 94 yards and 3 interceptions. His quarterback rating that night, I looked it up earlier today, Kyle Wright's quarterback rating, final game at the Orange Bowl, 0.7. Thanks for showing up, Kyle. How did Randy Shannon last two more years after that? Number two of my top three most disappointing South Florida football performances. And I'm trying to make you feel better about yesterday, Dolphins at Patriots, by the way, because there have been worse, right? My number two, I'll stay with the Canes on this one. January 2nd, 1987. Fiesta Bowl. Miami Hurricanes lost to Penn State 14-10. Miami outgained Penn State 445 yards to 162. 22 first downs to 8. But you had 7 turnovers in that game, including 5 interceptions by Vinny Testaverde. That was such an ugly performance. To this day, Testaverde gets accused of throwing that game, which is probably completely unfair. But when you play that poorly after winning a Heisman, it makes people wonder. Now, that game, why that was so disappointing, aside from the scoreboard, Miami famously wore the fatigues on the team plane. Good versus evil. You built that game up so much, only to do that on the field. Oh, wow, somebody points out Randy Shannon lasted 3 more years after that final game at the OB. Woof. But then my number one, most disappointing South Florida football performances. And I got to give kudos to the texters. A lot of people either guessed that this would be my number one or it was their own personal number one. January 15th, the year of our Lord, 2000. Dan Marino's final game in a Dolphins uniform. Playoffs against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Final score, 62-7 Jags. So just as you had an embarrassing farewell to the Orange Bowl with the Hurricanes, pretty sad farewell to Dan Marino. Final game played by number 13. To go out that way, few tears may have run down my eyes that day. I'm not lying to you. Wow, a texter writes in, it's working. Your number three was enough for me to forget yesterday's clown show. How about that? I told you, I'm trying to make you feel better about 38-7 at New England yesterday. You've seen worse games in your lifetime, I assure you.
One you didn't put on that I'm kind of shocked is the Doug Flutie Hail Mary. I thought that'd be really disappointing for you as a Kane fan, too.
Yeah, but here's what's disappointing about that. The fact that that highlight gets played so much. Like, I can't put that in the same league as Marino's final game, Hurricanes' final game at the OB, Fiesta Bowl. Like, it was a hell of a play by Doug Flutie. I can't, and our buddy Troy Stratford was there. I can't put that in the same league as I put my top three.
It was just a thought.
I appreciate you contributing. I told you why you were wrong, right? Like, I appreciate the suggestion. I told you why you were wrong.
It was basically a, you're wrong. It's cool.
Yeah, I was disappointed by your FAU Owls not giving UCF more of a test a few weeks back.
Hey, and we played about a good 29 out of 60 minutes.
There you go.
That last minute, that 31 minutes, we don't talk about.
29 minutes does not a football game make. Texter writes in, wow, those were still not as bad as yesterday. The wound is too fresh. 7 o'clock hour is coming up. More of your calls, your texts, your tweets. It's Florida State week for the Miami Hurricanes. I'm very optimistic about this Saturday. The Alex Dono Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.